This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
An opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team now, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. All three Boston sports teams playing really well at this point in time. We'll talk to some of the biggest names on those teams in just a little bit. Brad Marchand, Xander Bogaerts, coming up in just a little bit here on the Press Pass. We will start with the Boston Bruins as they're getting hot at just the right time, creating distance and separation between the Rangers, who are looking for that final playoff spot, and getting closer to the top of the standings where the Washington Capitals sit. That has been the name of the game for the Boston Bruins, and no figure has been more significant to the Bruins this year than Brad Marchand, who at the age of 32 may be having his best year in the National Hockey League, and in my view, is the leading candidate for the Hart Trophy this year. Now, other individuals have a lot more points than Marchand, but you consider what he does in all three zones, what he does in terms of the little aspects of the game and what he has meant to the Bruins. Brad Marchand, in my view, is the MVP this year. I talked with Marshy. Hey, Marshy, without question, this has been one of your most productive seasons. You're sixth in the National Hockey League going into play on Friday with 57 points. And I wanted to ask you about how difficult it is to play the game that you play, where you're constantly inviting attention, you're stirring up, obviously, the opposition. And how much do you feel that it's difficult to kind of fight through that to have the success you have in the offensive zone?
I think it's just the way that I've always played the game. So I don't really know how to play it any other way. And you know, I don't know if it'd be easier or harder playing another way, but that's just the way that I've been able to be effective for our group, and it's allowed me to get to this level. So, you know, obviously there's been times where I've had to clean some things up, but you know, for the most part, I'm very fortunate to play with very talented players. So when you play with guys that are at the level that they are, I mean, you're going to feed off that and benefit from that and learn to play at their level. And I think that's probably been the biggest thing playing alongside Berge from pretty much the get-go was he plays at such a high level every night that, you know, he had to elevate to stay there. And then obviously the guys that have been on the line since then, and now with Pasta being one of the fastest, most dominant players in the league, keeping up with them is tough. So, you know, it is tiring, but it's fun. So,
how much do you feel that you are directly responsible for Berge's success and vice versa? Like, should you be viewed as a pair? Because basically that's the way you kind of describe yourselves, as a pair as opposed to a, you know, an individualized view of both of you.
No, I'm not taking any credit for his success by any means. I mean, he's you know, one of the best two-way players to ever play the game, if not the best. And, you know, I think we're very fortunate to have found a chemistry early on in our game that has allowed us to play together for a long period of time. You know, it can be tough to change line mates consistently. And, you know, we've changed a couple over the years, but to only have to change one, I think it benefits both of us. And we definitely have allowed, been able to grow our games, you know, together. So it does benefit us to, you know, to have the chemistry we do. There's no question, but by no means am I going to take credit for his success.
Thanks, Marshy.
Thank you.
Tuukka Rask got the start in net once again for the Bruins last night. He had previously only played once in 5 weeks from March the 7th through April the 15th. That was only for a brief period of time in the first period because he has been reportedly dealing with a lower back injury. I asked Tuukka about being back in the nets and making some of the phenomenal saves he does, including coming across the net for a great save during the first period on Tuesday in the win over the Sabres.
Hey, Tuukka, just your thoughts on how tonight went. Another one of those phenomenal across the net saves for you this year. And so your takeaways on the game and what goes into making those types of saves like you made in the first?
Yeah, well, those, it's just half skill, half luck, I guess. You know, you're kind of desperation mode at that point when you can't push over to that side, so you just throw anything at the puck you can, and hopefully it hits you, and like today it did. But yeah, I thought we played a solid game. You know, it's like any team in this league. You give them time and space, they're going to make some plays. I think at times, you know, we gained a little too much time to enter and make some plays. But overall, it was a pretty solid effort again.
And also, just how are you feeling right now? Is the team, you being kind of, you know, cautious at this point, and things are going well, or are you still, you know, battling some stuff?
Well, good enough to play. You know, it's maintaining, you know, the strength and everything else, the health as much as possible, kind of giving it rest when need be, and not pushing it too much. Hopefully, you know, be able to play, you know, still along many more months ahead. So, but I'm feeling good. You know, it doesn't bother me playing. So that's a plus.
Also talked with Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy. Get a sense as to where the club is at right now. They've been playing good hockey. They're moving up towards the top of the standings. Get Butchie's feelings on where things stand for the Bruins. Hey, Butchie, just in this hot streak that you guys have been in, what in your view has been consistent about your game on a night-to-night out basis, which has led to the success?
Not a lot of poor stretches. I think that shows in our goals against. You know, we don't have these lulls where we have pockets of, you know, poor puck management shift after shift. I think we've had some, no doubt, where we haven't executed well enough. Some of that is you know, the skill of the player at times, and some of it is just us, you know, having good awareness where we are in the game. There's a little bit of both sometimes. So the skill part, will keep encouraging the guys to execute well and support the puck well. And as for the puck management part, we'll try to hold them as accountable as best we can. Usually that's, you know, through ice time or, you know, or challenges or you know, get another line to push that line. Well, there's different ways you can do that. I think we've eliminated large pockets of those and been able to keep our game going in a straight line, north-south, for the full 60 minutes. Certainly was on display against the Islanders. I think we had a bad start to that game the second night. And, you know, I don't even, Washington, trying to remember, maybe a little stretch in the PK got us in trouble. Tonight, for the most part, second period, we got away from it a little bit, right? A little puck management here and there. Tail end of a power play. So, but we've been able to correct it, put the brakes on it fairly quickly. And then our goaltending has put out the fires, right? I mean, obviously we don't give up much. You got to give credit where credit's due to them. They've made some big time stops. Haven't been asked to make volume of stops, but quality ones. When we've needed them, they've made that stop to get us sort of, hey, let's get back in the game now, get back to playing our way. So I think that's been the two or three things that we've done well.
What's been your take on how Tuukka has played? Some solid performances for him. Seems like he's not having any setbacks injury-wise.
Yeah, excellent. He second effort saves, tracked the puck well. There were some point shots there that, you know, he was able to fight his way through and find them. I think he was our best player, it goes without saying. I think we put him in some spots there in the third. We could have been a lot better in front of him and made his life a lot easier. Typically, we've done that in thirds recently. Not tonight, got away from him a bit. Some of that was, you know, the parade to the penalty box. Some of it just not being dialed into playing winning hockey at the right time. So good for him. You know, we expect him to shut the door when need be. We just, like I said, we don't want to put it all on him in those situations. But tonight, a little more than we wanted. So just have to be better at that area the next game.
I want to ask you a little about 5-on-5 and your top four lines at this point. Are you at a space now with where things are at where you want to see the chemistry develop amongst those lines and kind of give them a little bit of time to develop because you have found kind of an optimal scenario there? What is your thought process about letting things play out, particularly, you know, on that third line that you mentioned where they're still developing chemistry?
Well, that was the plan coming out of the deadline. We you know, we obviously had a tough one against Washington, but again, we had a lot of different players in the lineup that night, tough scheduling. So we sat down basically that night, the next day, you know, Donnie informed me of some of the moves that were happening and or could be happening. And so we kind of pieced together a lineup where we thought guys should play. And this is what it looked like. Now, if we had to come out of that trade deadline and we weren't winning or scoring, I guarantee you, Chris, we would have moved things around to find it. But You know, we've noticed that Craig Smith has played well with any line he's been on. He's continued that. Kretsch does like a right shot, you know, usually somewhere in his line. And he's, I think Hall was a natural fit on his left. So that one's come together. Pasta, we know we can play up with Bergen, Marsh. They're very dangerous. It was just, and then the fourth line, we knew where Lazar was going to fit. It meant pushing Crowley over, which we've done. He's a better centerman than a winger. Doesn't mean he won't end up over in the wing, but right now we like where he is in the middle. So it just left the third line where almost the pieces that, you know, kind of shook out from the rest of it. And then the problem we have, obviously, is the two left shots that have typically played left wing. So one of them had to move to the right. We chose Jake. And we hope that they develop some chemistry that line, because they're all good players. They all bring good attributes to the game. And Charlie's been our third line center here since he got here, so he's very comfortable there. Richie's probably, you know, in the right spot more or less for him. He's that's, you know, second, third line left winger with, you know, if a center can get him the puck. Jake's a bit of the wild card. You know, Hall bumped him down a bit with the way Smith's going. You know, we decided to leave him up. That's the one thing we could have done is put him on the right with Kretsch, but we like the way Smith was going. So and there's still an opportunity to do that. So most of it looks good, how we envisioned it. It's producing, so that's a positive as well. So we'll see where it goes from here. And then there's Trent Frederick, who was ill. And then, you know, he gets pushed out of the lineup, who's played a lot. So we haven't forgot about him. You know, he's going to get an opportunity to work his way in, see where he best fits eventually. But right now it's worked out well this past week, so we don't want to mess with it.
13 games over the last 22 days, and obviously you have to secure a playoff spot before you think too much about the rest versus positioning side of things. But I'm curious if you've given that any sort of, you know, general thought, given the workload that some of your top players have had and making sure that they're, you know, fresh, if as a guy can be, having gone through this type of a season for the postseason. How do you, weigh the positioning versus the player health side of things down the stretch?
I haven't given it any thought. We're a long ways away from that, I think. We're in a battle just to get in. Have been for a little bit here. This week has helped us, obviously, get closer to the top of the group. The Rangers are right there. It looks like there's five teams for four spots that are battling hard. I don't want to preclude Philadelphia, but watching their game the other day, it looks like they're incorporating some younger guys, so maybe they have a different sort of mindset of how they're going to finish out. But at the end of the day, no. Simple answer to that question is absolutely not. Have not thought about that at all. We've got to solidify our spot, and then what's available to us? Is home ice advantage available to us once we get in? Can we win the division? All those things go through your head as you go, because there's advantages to all those. But the main thing is you need to get in to have a chance. And so that's our focus right now. Once we've accomplished that, then, you know, I'd be happy to sort of answer your question then about, okay, how are we going to lay out our group? Do we allow them time? I think the other part to that is there's no definitive schedule this year set for the playoffs. At least I don't think there is. You know, they're adding games at the end. We've added a couple have been added to us. Vancouver's added almost a whole week. So is that push everybody back? So will you get the rest you need once the regular season's over, no matter what, because the playoffs are spaced out that way? So those are the other things that's the other, the situation that would allow us to tinker with that too, is when are we starting once you're in? Because I think we finish on a Tuesday. Are we starting on Thursday or starting the next week, right? So there might be some built-in rest regardless.
And just generally, how challenging has recovery been for guys with the type of workload that you guys have had?
I think it's a challenge throughout the league, and I think it's difficult on the players, but this is the hand they've been dealt, and I hope for their sake there are no injuries because of it. There's always going to be aches and pains. There's always going to be, you know, this time of year that, you know, you are fatigued, so you have to make sure that you're mindful of that. As a coach, as the medical staff, I think that's why we've been light the last couple days. It's more, right now we're almost in playoff mode a little bit. It's games, it's rest, it's play the games, rest, and practice has taken a back seat to rest right now. Whereas I think there's other times of the year that practice, you know, will overcome the need for rest, because you just got to get better and get your reps in and get your team organized. So, but I think it's the opposite this time of the year now. The teams that have to practice because, you know, their game is not where it is, or in trouble this time of the year because, you know, you're just playing so often that the rest probably is more important than the players, and mentally as well as physically. It's tough to get up for a game every night, and you know, you don't have the 18,000 fans in the building that get you, charge you up the days mentally you're not there. I mean, it's great that we have some fans. It sure was nice yesterday. It was a physical game and it felt like a lot more, but there's that part of it too, mental challenge for the players at some of these rinks that, you know, they got to get themselves going too. So, and especially at this time of year, you know, that is where you need days away from the rink to clear your head.
Celtics' strong month continues, 9-2 in April, going into play on Friday after win over the Phoenix Suns. I talked with Celtics star Jason Tatum.
Hey, Jason. Hope all is well with you. Obviously, April's been a different month for you guys in terms of record and also, you know, your personal performance. What do you think has changed, even as the lineup issues have still, you know, been fluctuating throughout this month?
What has changed? I think we've just been more connected for longer periods of time during the game. Obviously, you know, individually, guys have been playing better on, you know, last month or so. I think it's just kind of the right time that, you know, hopefully we continue to carry this on throughout the regular season and just getting ready for the playoffs.
Kemba Walker had one of his best performances of the year with 32 points in the victory over the Suns. One thing that is noticeable, the Celtics are playing with more intensity, pace, and focus, and that's been one of the big reasons for their turnaround. Connected, as Jason Tatum said earlier.
Hey, Kemba, I wanted to ask you about the game tonight and just your mindset going into to tonight in regards to how you wanted to impact the game and also the way you guys played with pace, the way the ball moved on the offensive side.
I was just taking the shots available to me. Making the plays available to me. You know, whatever the defense gave me, I try to, you know, respond to that. You know, some shots went in. You know, my teammates played so well. You know, we played so hard. Smarty played. He played a great game. Defensively, his impact was just was second to none. You know, he really got us going. JT played a great game. I know he didn't shoot the ball as well as he would like to, but, you know, I thought he did a great job at doing other things, you know, which is a great sign. You know, we had guys off the bench, Jabari, Grant, Payton played super, super well. Aaron, you know, it was just a great team win. Romeo, you know, I know some of those guys' numbers might not show it, but you know, they played well. You know, they were just really, really solid tonight.
I also talked with Peyton Pritchard, who's been a key player for the Celtics off the bench this year. The rookie has been solid throughout the course of the season for Boston.
Hey, Peyton, what stood out to you in terms of the type of pace you played with on the offensive side and also defensively? What were you guys able to do to force the amount of misses that Phoenix had?
You know, with as far as pace, you know, we just try to get it up the floor, look for early ones. Early threes, get to the basket, and then after that, it's just moving the ball, cutting, you know, penetrating, and trying to find open shots for our teammates. And then defensively, you know, I just think we just try to contest, get our hands active, and, you know, make it tough.
Well, let's check in on the first place Boston Red Sox right now. Their lineup is great. Their starting pitching has been solid. Bullpen's good. Really, all areas the Red Sox have been good to start the season. We're going to hear from Xander Bogaerts as well as Kike Hernandez about that, and we'll start with Bogey.
There's been obviously significant changes in personnel over last year, but how much credit do you think Alex should get for the way this team has played early on?
I think just us being able to prepare much better, obviously last year with all the new rules and stuff like that. As I said, just being in the clubhouse together, I think that's definitely helped a lot compared to last year, us just being kind of divided. As I said, it was nice and all with the suites and stuff like that, but it was just everyone kind of to their own thing, you know, their own program. But now it's just us interacting a lot more, and obviously AC just praising those positive messages and being the guy that he is, you know, and we all know what all he's meant to all of us in this clubhouse and for this organization. So it's been definitely real fun to start off like this, to turn around like this, let me put it like that.
And do you feel like this is your team at this point? Like, do you feel like you are the leader of the Boston Red Sox, given your longevity, your standing in the game, the championships? Like, do you feel that this is your group at this point?
I mean, I know I have a huge responsibility with the team, That's one thing I would say. But obviously, this team, we have so many leaders, so many guys that have a lot of time in the big leagues. Doesn't mean to say that I have the most time with the Red Sox, that I'm the guy. You know, we, as I said, we have guys that are injured and guys that have a tremendous track record. So I think it's just all of us just doing it together and not pointing out any single one that, hey, you know, you're the one. But I do know that I have a big responsibility and I expect great things of myself and to maintain to that level.
Kike, Verdugo, and JD at the top of the lineup, how do they set the tone in terms of the quality of at-bats for the rest of the game? And do they drive that mindset that makes, you know, this lineup even deeper in terms of the quality of at-bats at the bottom of the lineup?
I feel like Kike and Verdugo, they both have good eyes at the plate. I was really impressed with Kike in the spring training, obviously. And I know it's cold, man. I know it would have been a little tough for him just being able to play in this cold compared to being in LA pretty much for his whole career. But early on, it's tough playing in this weather, man, up north, you know. And I know he's going to get hot, especially once the weather gets going, because he's proved to us in spring training, you know. But I think just being able to have a good approach at the plate, get on base, his base hits are going to come. But just being able to take the walks for Verdugo behind him, who also has some great eyes and obviously have big JD up there just driving runs in, you know. And hopefully he leaves a little bit for me on the base and I start cashing in on some more RBIs.
Do you like that cleanup spot? Do you like it in fourth?
Yeah, I like hitting anywhere, you know. Actually, my favorite spot is second, but my numbers aren't good at second, so I don't really. That's the only one I probably wouldn't want to go at, you know. But I don't mind it.
Also talked with Red Sox leadoff hitter Kike Hernandez.
Kike, there's been a lot of discussion about how positive the impact has been of yourself as well as Marwin and Hunter, and the fact that you guys have had postseason experience, kind of brought some new life to the team. How do you see that playing out so far, and what do you think the impact of the three of you coming in the lineup has been?
You know, I think experience and being in that situation and winning, I think it helps a lot, but like it helps in a lot of little things. It just is not something that, you know, it's, oh, we got some winners now where it's going to turn right away. You know, it's more part of a process than anything. I think, you know, getting to know guys and figuring out ways how we can help them out and stuff like that, and guys gravitating towards us and asking us questions. I think that's what it's all about. But, you know, for me, I just want to bring the energy. I just want to, you know, keep things light, keep the good energy going. And, you know, Marwin's, you know, he's a little more serious than I am. But, you know, that the presence, I think the presence is the most important thing. And, you know, having guys like us that you can come and lean on us and when times are not going great or whatever. And, you know, so far we're having a lot of fun and guys are clicking and we're playing really well together. So hopefully we can keep that going and make things even more fun.
Does the mindset change at all when you're in a lineup with Verdugo and JD Martinez ahead of them, and you know what their mindset is in regards to driving the count and making things challenging for the pitcher? And does that kind of resonate with you at the top of the lineup?
Yeah. I think the game, it's going to dictate what type of AB you're going to get. But at the same time, I feel really comfortable having Doogie behind me, because I know that I can pick and choose when I'm going to ambush a pitcher or not. Because even if I swing at the right pitch and I put a good swing on it and hit the ball hard, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I'm going to get a knock or I'm going to hit a double or whatever. You know, I can hit the ball hard and I can still be out. But you know, just having that pace of mind that, even if I swing the first pitch and I get out on the first pitch, I know that Dewey behind me can, you know, he's more than comfortable with taking pitches and working the count and making the pitcher work. So, you know, just having that peace of mind, not that it's not just up to me to make the pitcher work and see a lot of pitches, that I know that Dewey can do the same thing behind me. It's just a matter of picking and choosing the right time, the right situation for my approach, I guess.
That is Red Sox leadoff hitter Kike Hernandez. This is the Press Pass. Thanks for joining me. I'm Chris Ryan.
This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. We'll take a look at last night's action here in this segment of the show. We'll start in Buffalo as the Bruins lost the Sabres 6-4. Bees trailed 5-1 in the third period. They had a real lackluster middle to this game, or they just didn't have the commitment to win. They didn't have the care of the puck to win. Their puck management, bad decisions, turnovers. And they ended up falling behind 5-1 early in the third period of play. However, Bruins scored with under 8 minutes to go, and they then scored three goals after that to make it 5-4. They had the extra attacker on the ice, but David Pastrnak turned the puck over. Sam Reinhart deposited in the opposing net, which was empty, and next thing you know, Bruins had lost 6-4. Let's hear right now from Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy.
Just your general feelings as a coach after a game like this, where you obviously saw at the end that you had the ability to win this game, but you mentioned, you know, the middle portion where you went away with what from what has taken place during the course of this win streak. I mean, what's your general sense in a game, like after a game like this one?
Well, we've played a lot of hockey, so we can't dwell on it. It's too late in the year for that. You know, you need points. We didn't get them. We got to focus on Pittsburgh, get some rest tomorrow. We'll always look at it and talk to the guys about. To me, the message is less about, you know, some of the individual burps. Those are going to happen. It's about staying in the game when you don't necessarily have your best game going. You got to find a way to stay in the game. Have some patience against a team that has, especially a team that hasn't won a lot. So maybe they get out of their game eventually and start pressing. You know, give your goaltender a chance to make some saves for you. One and done, get the clears. There's just a lot of little things that go into those types of games where, you know, we didn't do enough of that. And some of it was our veteran guys. Just have to understand. And then hopefully you get yourself in a position where you can make a play when your game does come around. And we've done a lot of that this year. We haven't had our best and found ways to get points. Tonight, you know, we weren't able to do that. I liked our pushback. You know, we went to the net, scored some goals, stayed with it. And really had a chance to pull points out of this. We, again, a mismanaged puck at the end, so we'll never know. But, you know, in the big picture, in reality, I mean, Buffalo was probably the better team and deserved to win, but we did put ourselves in a position to, you know, to get them points at the end. So that's a positive. But as I said earlier, not enough. You know, it hurts to win, and I'm not sure we did enough of the hard things tonight to, you know, to get the win, and I think they did. So they were probably tired of losing to us, and it showed in their play.
Big night for Stephen Kampfer. He had the first tally of the night on a beautiful pass from Taylor Hall as he rushed the net hard, did Kampfer, and was rewarded. He then added two assists as well. Three-point night for Kampfer. But frustration, because if the Bruins had been committed in the middle portion of this game, they would have probably won.
In some ways, is coming, you know, so close at the end and having, you know, that opportunity create even more frustration about the middle of the game and what you could have done if you had been, you know, the more disciplined and focused team at the puck?
Well, I think it shows the resilience of in the room, right? Like, you know, we can come back from anything. I think we showed that tonight. Yeah, it's frustrating, I think. You know, games like that, I think everybody wants to come away with 2 points there. And, you know, we came up short. And, yeah, it's definitely frustrating.
So let's look at the standings right now. That was basically the game in hand one of the games in hand for the Boston Bruins. They now have only one game in hand on the teams ahead of them in the standings, Washington, Pittsburgh, and the Islanders. They're at Pittsburgh on Sunday at 3 p.m. and on Tuesday as well. So chance to gain some ground on them. But they are 4 points behind Washington and 3 points behind Pittsburgh and the Islanders. They have two games in hand on the Rangers and are currently in the final playoff spot. They're 6 points to the good right there. Boston Celtics last night, kind of a similar performance to the Bruins, where they were able to rally late but weren't able to make enough plays. They got killed in transition through the course of this game, 32-0 in transition points. They turned the ball over 19 times. Playing without, though, Kemba Walker on a back-to-back and also Jaylen Brown. The Brooklyn Nets were without James Harden as well as Kevin Durant. So in terms of what this game means, kind of want to throw that out because so many players were out of the lineup. Peyton Pritchard had 22 for the Celtics.
Hey, Peyton, just your takeaways tonight in regards to, you know, transition game and turnovers. You see those being the two kind of key areas that did you guys in tonight?
You know, anytime you turn the ball over a lot and you give a team like Brooklyn opportunities to get out in transition and hit easy shots and stuff like that, it's going to be tough to win games. So
let's take a look where the Boston Celtics are at right now. They're outside of the play-in tournament, which is where they want to be. Four teams will play in for the right, if you will, to face Brooklyn or Philadelphia, currently in the first and second spots. The Celtics are one game to the good in that realm, as they are ahead of the Miami Heat for the seventh spot. If the season ended today, they'd face the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round. Celtics at 32-28. All right, let's look at the Boston Red Sox right now. 6-5 winners over the Seattle Mariners last night at Fenway Park. Red Sox best record in the American League at 13-8. Xander Bogaerts was the star for the Red Sox. J.D. Martinez homered again, bogey, though, 3 RBI, including a 2-run blast in the first inning. But this offense continues to impress, and they can get better, and they're only hitting .230 with runners in scoring position, but still, in my view, the best lineup definitely in the American League and perhaps in baseball. I talked with J.D. Martinez about that. J.D., Christian Vasquez has said a couple times that this group has the same type of feel as the 2018 team in terms of how you talk the game and kind of the consistent approach in regards to baseball amongst each other. Do you get that feel as well? And what is that like when people are at that same mindset that you seem to have?
Yeah, I mean, some similarities. I mean, that 2018 was a special team. That's a tough team to compete against. But this is a very good team. I feel like we have a good camaraderie with the guys. And there's always that, like, I don't know, I kind of measure, like in 18, I always measured our games by, okay, when could we have won the game? Did we get that opportunity? Did that opportunity come? And it was like every day in 2018, whether it was in the first inning or the fifth inning or the ninth inning, we always had that chance to win the game, to really separate ourselves. And I feel like with this team, I feel those opportunities coming. Last night we were in the game the whole day. The one before, we were in the game the whole time. Like every game this season, I feel like we've always had a chance, whether when we won or when we've lost, to really just have that one hit, that one play that really changes the game. And that's kind of how I measure, our teams. And last year, I feel like we didn't have that. Last year, I feel like we were out of the game before the game. As soon as the game started or in the third inning, I feel like we were kind of just playing catch up the whole time. This year, it feels a lot more in that aspect, like 2018.
Can this lineup be better than that group once the summer months start to come about, weather heats up? Does this have that potential to be historically good?
I mean, I don't know, man. That's tough. We had a really, really good offense in 18. I mean, I think it was the best offense in baseball. But I think we have a really good offense now, too. Obviously, one of the best hitters, Mookie, not here. And that 18, but got other, key players like, Doogie and, Kike coming in. So it's a lot of other pieces. If Christian Arroyo swings it like he's been swinging, that's a big plus. I think he's got a really good swing, and I think he can really impact this team. Bogey endeavors, they're Bogey endeavors, they're going to hit, I feel like. I think, I don't know. I have confidence in our lineup. I've said that from the beginning, even after we got swept by Baltimore. Like I always told you guys that. I was like, I like this lineup. I think we're going to be able to put some runs up. I think we're going to be in every game.
Alex Cora also preached team defense during the spring training period and afterwards. And we saw some signs of that on Friday night. A huge play in the first inning. Runners on first and third, one out. There's already a run in. And a tremendous play by Xander Bogaerts going up the middle, makes the diving stop, flips to second. They get a double play to get out of the inning. Alex Verdugo made a tremendous play, taking a ball off the monster, bare hand, throwing to third base, getting the lead runner to end an inning there as well. Sox defense is solid. Still too many sloppy plays at times, but you can see the potential of this group. I talked with Alex Cora about that. And also, some of the challenges the Red Sox have had in throwing strikes, Their high-end guys, Nathan Eovaldi and Eduardo Rodriguez, have been tremendous. But some of the other guys, namely Martin Perez from last night, has not been attacking the strike zone. Talked with Alex Cora about those two things. Just one thing on your overall team defense. You talked about that a lot in spring training. Has that been where you've wanted it to be, and what's impressed you in that realm?
We're turning little plays. We're doing a good job turning little plays. I think Christian, like I said, he's been great for us. And with him playing the way he's playing second base, have given me the luxury of moving guys to other positions and not, you know, like Enrique's playing a lot of center field now. And it's the fact that Christian can play that position. Marwin at first has been great. Bobby, you know, with the picks at first base, he's been really solid. Rafi, you know, the first weekend was like in between the whole time, and now you can see it. You know, there's a lot of conviction. And the outfield play has been solid. Hunter in right field, it seems like he's been playing there for 10 years. It's been great. So overall, a lot better than the last 2 years. And we know we have to keep improving. We have to keep working, but so far, so good.
Why do you think at times the message of attacking the strike zone doesn't resonate with certain pitchers, particularly given when you look at the top of your rotation right now and the success that Nate and Erod have had in attacking the strike zone? Why at times does it take time for that message to resonate?
I think sometimes they attack right and they get ambushed on the first pitch and somebody hits a homer, but that doesn't happen very often. There's organizations and that have put a lot of work on first pitch, right? The results. And somebody mentioned it to you guys, like 93% of the time, you know, the outcome is positive to the pitcher in that first pitch if you throw for a strike. So it's hard. You've been pitching in a certain way, right, for all your career since you signed. And then they're like, you know, pitch to the edges. And then you look around and you put MLB Network or the old version of Baseball Tonight. And it was like, you know, they just show home runs. And probably that's something that it resonates and stays in their mind. But I do believe for to be successful at this level, you got to pitch ahead regardless of your stuff. You know, it doesn't matter if you have 100 like Nate or, I don't know, 88 like Weber. You know, you have to pitch ahead. And we keep working on that. Obviously, results-wise, it's been a mix, right? Because it's kind of like some guys are attacking, others not. But you see the results. We lead in the leagues, the big leagues in walks, which is not good. But we can keep preaching and trying to get them to attack, and hopefully they start doing it.
This is the Press Pass on KXL. More to come up next. This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Occasionally in sports, a player will enter into the fray and you don't expect anything from them, and the next thing you know, they have earned a job for as long as they want, basically. Now, I don't know if that's the case with Jeremy Swayman, but you look at the way he has played. The Bruins have two high-end goaltenders in Tuukka Rask and Jaroslav Halak, but Swayman has played so well that the Bruins cannot not play him. And that is what they are going to do, play him. And that is the case on Sunday as he'll start for the Bruins in Pittsburgh against the Penguins. Swayman right now has a 1.65 goals allowed average. Granted, it's a small sample size, but that is second in the National Hockey League. And his save percentage is also second in the National Hockey League. Here is Jeremy Swayman.
Hey, what has it meant to you to continue to earn these starts and to continue to be put in the net in a playoff push for this team, even if guys were seemingly becoming healthy?
I think it's a great opportunity and great experience. Again, all I want to do is help the team win, and when my name is called, I want to give them my best. So it's really fun to be a part of this upward momentum. And again, it's a team game, and our team's been playing so well, and it's just fun to be a part of.
And what have you noticed about the way the guys been playing in front of you, the way you guys have been playing in front of you, particularly during this win streak?
It's apparent that they want to win just as bad as I do. And, you know, it's these points are super crucial, and we understand that. But again, we're taking every game as a playoff game, I think, at this point, and we're making sure that we're doing everything we can to get 2 points at the end of the night.
This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Nathan Eovaldi, 3-1 for the Red Sox, gets the ball on Saturday against the Mariners. I talked with Christian Vasquez earlier this week about how Eovaldi has evolved into a ace. What's changed with Nate and Erod that's allowed for them to kind of get to the next level of starters? What's evolved with both of them, in your view?
I think both are elite starting pitchers, you know. For me, they have all the stuff to be one of the best ones. I think Eddie pitched very good yesterday, maybe only 2 homers, but overall he pitched good. You know, all the pitches was doing the action we want, and you know, it's very cool to see that. And Nate, you know, he got great stuff. I think all the pitches are working, you know, right now. So that's great to see.
Both of them obviously have really good control, but have seemed to have more confidence in pounding the strike zone. When did you notice that evolving in each of them, and how and why is it difficult at times to, you know, get pitchers to, particularly with elite stuff, to trust that stuff and to pound the strike zone?
I think that's the key for every pitcher, you know, like me, like a hitter, if the pitchers go 1-0, I feel comfortable hitting, you know, and when they go 0-1 strike one, you know, I start to think more about the pitches, and, you know, that's the main thing this year in spring training for all the pitchers, to attack the zone, strike one, strike two, and, you know, get some chases after 0-2, you know. So I think we're doing a great job with that, and I think we're going to be in good place if we continue to do that.
In conclusion, the sports world was watching very closely a courthouse in Minneapolis this past week as Derek Chauvin, the police officer found guilty of killing George Floyd this past May, was convicted by a jury of his peers. I talked with Celtics head coach Brad Stevens about that, as his and his team's focus has largely been on social justice.
Hey, Brad, just wanted to get your take on the verdict yesterday out in Minneapolis. Is it something that the group talked about at all? And just your thoughts on what took place?
You know, I think it's something that we've talked about for a long time. Obviously, I'm very happy with the verdict. I think everybody is. I tend to agree with everyone that says that it's a good sign of accountability. But there's also a lot more to do. And, you know, and I think the next big emphasis from that regard has got to be the George Floyd bill passing through the Senate. And so we're all hopeful of that. We certainly will, you know, continue to do our part to talk about that and talk about the importance of it. And so I think yesterday felt like a step in a good direction. And at the same time, you know, very cognizant that there's a lot to do. And, you know, I'm really proud to be a part of a group and an organization that, you know, is trying to do it. And so, you know, we'll just keep doing our small part. But yesterday was certainly encouraging.
This has been the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. For past episodes, go to nhtalkradio.com.